Welcome to On Tour with Sport 24. I'm Emma Saunders and this is your guide to the world's most iconic sporting cities. Each episode we'll be heading to a different part of the world to give you an inside view into what makes it a sporting city. We're going to find out what the locals recommend to get a real flavour of its sports and culture and what you should experience when you come to visit. It's what Sport 24 is all about, a sports channel that connects onboard passengers to those unmissable live sporting moments. So, whether you're flying at 35,000 feet or relaxing on your ocean cruise, you can be watching the game live. Sounds like the only way to travel. So buckle up and sit back. You're listening to On Tour with Sport 24.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sport 24, we'd like to welcome you to Melbourne.
Yes, we're starting our journey in Melbourne, Australia, arguably the sporting capital of the world, so dedicated to sport, in fact, that it even has its own sports and entertainment precinct. And joining me for this journey is TikToker extraordinaire and intrepid traveller Rob Adcock. Hi, Rob. Welcome along. Now, before we meander through Melbourne, just tell us a little bit about you and what you do, because creating your content, it must take you far and wide. But what about Melbourne? Is it a city that you're familiar with?
It is. I visited many, many years ago, and my kind of brief experience with Melbourne was a lot of St Kilda around that area. So you can imagine the kind of trip that it was and spending time getting sunburned mainly. But Melbourne, what a place for many, many different things. How long into the episode are we going to mention neighbours? Because that is up there with one of my favourite things about the place.
Yeah, I've got an early confession as well, actually. I visited Melbourne myself a few years ago. And of course, the tennis, the cricket, they were two of the main attractions. But I didn't sign on the dotted line and book that flight until I knew we were going to Ramsay Street as well. You can't go to the other side of the world and not visit, yeah, the setting of the world famous neighbours.
It's all about that. If you're not going to see toadfish, what is the point? That is always going to be the first case.
Exactly. So outside of Neighbours and St Kilda, as you mentioned there, what else do you know about the city? What do you feel really puts it on the map?
Yeah, as you say, it's all about the sport, isn't it? You look around the cities in the world and it's one of those that jumps out straight away. The F1, we're talking about the Australian Open tennis, the cricket, Aussie rules football, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later on, and the Melbourne Cup. There's just so much going on in this place. It's one of those things that if you're making a bucket list of places to watch sport, it's right up there. I've put together a little bit of a list later on for you, Emma, as well. Just a few tips for you, which I think you'll like.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to that. And we couldn't do this without a local to guide us through the city. And we've got just the man for that.
The shorter ball from Sinterbeth. Djokovic coming in cross court. Now he's going to play the low backhand volley, but he puts it into the net. Well done again. He's hanging on by his fingernails.
Sports journalist, commentator, and local Melbourneite, I think you might say, Peter Mercato. Hello, Peter. How are you doing?
Hello, Emma. Hello, Rob. It's great to be here. And it's great that you've decided to go straight to the top and pick the ultimate sporting city to have first on in Melbourne, because you don't need to worry about the rest. You've got everything you need right here.
It certainly sounds like it, doesn't it? Can you just clear something up for me? Have I got that right? You're a Melbourneite if you're from Melbourne? A Melbournean?
No, I'm a Melbournean. We are Melbournians right here rather than Melbourneites.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we've cleared that up. Let's get back to what you were just saying there. It's great to hear your Aussie tones, by the way. We're recording this in England right now and it does suddenly feel about 10, 15 degrees warmer. So just tell us about you yourself, what you get up to in Melbourne, and then, yeah, what this city has to offer.
So I'm a sports broadcaster and commentator, mainly in tennis. So the Australian Open and the Australian Summer of Tennis is my big 4 weeks here locally for the year, but also spend time travelling, hanging out in your part of the world as well for Wimbledon and travelling to a couple of the other international tournaments, and then do some of the local footy or Aussie rules to get the terminology right, and a host of other sports because there's so many options here in Melbourne. But in terms of what sport, well, you name it, we've got it. You know, obviously Aussie rules is the big sport, but, you know, we've got rugby league, we've got rugby union teams, we've got netball teams, basketball, absolutely everything from the international events right through to the grassroots. So it's not just obviously watching sport, but a lot of Australians love to play sport as well. And there's a lot of different competitions in all sorts of different codes. So that's also what makes it such a great sporting city. Not only do people come to watch sport, the best of the best playing, but also they participate in sport too.
Mm. Oh, so beautifully described. I feel like I'm right amongst it. I can, my senses are going wild here. You mentioned there the Australian Open, Peter, which is probably the first thing that springs to mind when you think of major sporting events in Melbourne. It's hosted every year in January, and the Australian Open is one of tennis's four Grand Slams. So they're the biggest events on the tennis calendar. Now, Peter, you've been fortunate enough to work at the Aussie Open for the last few years. So we thought, who better to give us a guided tour of Melbourne Park, just a stone's throw from the world-famous Melbourne Cricket Ground, otherwise known as the MCG, and the city's central business district, the CBD.
Oh, what a way to finish. It was four that was required. Stoinis says, no, I'll have six of them. Oh, the Melbourne Stars.
Well, I'm starting my journey outside the mighty MCG and it is looking absolutely magnificent. And, well, I'm on my way to Melbourne Park. And one of the great things about the Melbourne sporting precinct, if you like, is that it's very close to the CBD in Melbourne and that everything is connected together. I've got the road just alongside me as I'm walking along, but from the MCG to Melbourne Park, it's a less than 5 minute journey. And then from there, it's about a 10 minute walk into the CBD of Melbourne. So everything is very close, and that's what makes Melbourne such a unique city for major events. You can have a 100,000 seat stadium packed to the rafters. There could be a concert going on at Rod Laver Arena, or of course the Australian Open, which regularly attracts crowds of up to 80,000 during the day. And then a stone's throw away, I'm actually running into football fans at the moment because one of the local teams is in action at the rectangular stadium, is known as Amy Park, and there's a match going on there this afternoon. So one of the great things is the sporting precinct is so close to the CBD in Melbourne, so accessible, and it's not uncommon to have major sporting events going on at each of the different venues. So I've made my way inside Melbourne Park, and the first stop is Garden Square, which is sort of in the centre of the precinct. And when the plans for Melbourne Park were drawn up, this was one of the original meeting places here on the grounds, and certainly it's kept that reputation up. And people who come in on a grounds pass, so don't have direct access to the main stadiums, often spend a bit of time here. There's a big screen where they can watch all the action, catch up with friends. There's often live music, there's plenty of food, there's plenty of drinks, and it's just a great relaxed sort of feel in amongst all the tennis and everything else going on. Well, if you can hear me over the noise, I've arrived at Grand Slam Oval here at Melbourne Park. And Grand Slam Oval is right near the Yarra River as you walk into the site from that direction. And this is the party zone. They don't call it the Happy Slam for nothing. There's a concert going on at the nearby Kia Arena. There's all sorts of things and activities and activations going on Grand Slam Oval. In fact, some of the people who come to the Australian Open each year don't even see a ball being struck on a tennis court because they're having too much fun eating and drinking and having fun with their friends out here. This is more than a tennis tournament. It's an event that takes over Melbourne for 2 weeks out of the year, and so many people come to experience the great atmosphere, the great weather usually, and maybe even see some of the tennis as well. But as I'm standing here, I'm looking at Grand Slam Oval, I'm looking at Kia Arena, and there's just a hive of activity, people coming in their thousands to sample and soak up the great atmosphere of not only the tennis which is coming up, but also the party that overtakes Melbourne for 2 weeks.
Hi, I'm former professional tennis player Jill Krabus. The atmosphere is always great because I think everyone's just excited after the new year. The crowds are always fantastic. They're very fair as far as, you know, rooting for some great tennis and getting behind a lot of the players, especially some of the underdogs if you're playing a top seed, so that's always exciting. But what's super special for me is I've stayed with the same family for many, many years, and this year when I went, we figured out it was my 24th year, so they're a second mom and dad to me. I've watched all their kids grow up. They now have a bunch of grandkids, so it's been really nice to be a part of that family.
Hi there, I'm Mark Woodford, former Australian Open champion. How special is it to play the Australian Open in Melbourne? well, there's so much emotion that is surrounding the Australians playing at home.
Ash Barty is the Australian Open champion. Amazing scenes. Casey Dyfer, her great friend, her doubles partner, first to congratulate Ash.
The Australian Open is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. So the beginning of January, we had other events in the build-up to arriving in Melbourne and competing for the year's first Grand Slam title.
And now Djokovic will wheel into one up the line. He's just made it. Block back from Tsitsipas. It goes long! And it is 10 of the absolute best for Novak Djokovic.
So the final stop on the tour here of Melbourne Park is actually the centrepiece of everything, which is Rod Laver Arena. And in a couple of hours' time, it will be the men's singles final of the Australian Open for 2023. And at the moment, it's Novak Djokovic who's actually warming up on court, getting ready. In a couple of hours' time, this stadium will be filled. 15,000 people will be inside Rod Laver Arena, and there'll be a huge atmosphere. Then after the tournament's finished, they pack up very quickly, because in a couple of days' time, this stadium gets transformed back into a concert venue, which is used for a lot of the year. There's all sorts of different events that have been held here over the years. They've even had a swimming pool in the middle of Rod Laver Arena. So if you do come down to Melbourne Park, one of the things about coming down here is obviously the concerts and everything like that, but then also the opportunity to actually hit on some of the match courts. Now, not Rod Laver Arena or the ones under the roof, but a lot of the outside courts are available for court hire. So if you're a tennis player and you want to come to Melbourne and hit where the pros hit, you've got the opportunity down here. But it's a magnificent precinct. It's so close to the city. There's so much going on, not just sport, but culture and music and all sorts of different things here. It's a wonderful place to come and visit here, the Rod Laver Arena and the Melbourne Park precinct, right in the centre of Melbourne.
Well, Peter there, I think, clocking up some serious steps. I have to say, though, Peter, just quickly before we move on, what struck me most, a swimming pool on Rod Laver. How?
Yeah, it happened. I think it was back in 2007, there was the World Championships, and they actually had to build a pool from nothing. They had the blank space right in the middle where they host the tennis event, the Australian Open, of course, and they actually had to build it from the ground up. It did take a long time, but you really got to be hopeful that, you know, nothing leaks. But they did a fantastic job, and it was quite unique, actually, because it was under the roof. They needed a bigger stadium. We do have one at the Sports and Aquatic Centre, which is kind of where the F1 is and the Commonwealth Games was and everything like that. But it was just a huge atmosphere and a huge event, very much a one-off. It's not something that we do all the time, but it was quite unique. And World Labour Arena hadn't been used like that before or since.
I wanted to ask you about the swimming, if that's all right, Peter, because I worked at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham last year at the Aquatic Centre. Is everyone in Australia born in a pair of trunks? Because they look like the best swimmers in every event.
Well, you were at the Commonwealth Games, so we do win everything there anyway, so it probably gives you a distorted view of things. But in a general sense, I mean, yes, we grew up near the water, all the big centres around the country, and Melbourne, we mentioned it right off the top, you know, hanging around at St Kilda Beach. We love getting by the pool. A lot of people have pools around Melbourne, but getting down to the beach and learning how to swim, it's in the school curriculum too. So, yeah, a lot of people love it. We love the outdoors here in Melbourne. We love getting out and about, and that's one of the things we like doing.
It's not quite the same as the English Channel, is it, Rob?
I live in Stoke-on-Trent. We're just happy to have a garden. I love how you say, everyone's got pools. Yeah, everyone's got a pool. Don't worry about that.
Rob, when you're doing your best to get away somewhere a bit more tropical than Stoke-on-Trent, I know you have a bit of a knack for being quite thrifty, don't you? Booking trips on a budget. The question is, the other side of the world, the Australian Open, can you do that? Can you do it on a budget?
You were very polite there, Emma, when you said thrifty, because all my mates just call me tight as. So thank you for that. That's very, very kind of you. It's funny you should say this, because I have actually looked at this, because coming up this summer is, of course, the Women's World Cup taking place in Australia, and obviously quite a few games taking place in Melbourne at the Rectangular Stadium. So I have actually taken a little bit of a look at it. It's not as cheap as I usually like to go. Peter, just for a bit of reference, I like to fly around Europe for like £9. So that's the kind of level that we're aiming at. But if I am going, I always try and make sure that I go on an aeroplane or go with a a carrier that's got Sport 24 on board, because for me, if I've got time in the air, what's it, about 24 hours to Melbourne, around that, I'm very happy to pass that time watching live footy, tennis, Formula One, all that kind of stuff. So it definitely makes it go quick if we've got Sport 24 on board.
In fact, if you have already visited Melbourne or you're planning to, we'd love to hear from you with any of your travel hints, tips, pictures or videos. Follow us, get in touch across social media channels using the hashtag MySport24. Now, Rob, you've been busy doing your research. As in every episode, we want to give you, the listener, the best tips about our chosen city, all in one handy list. Whether that be places to grab a pre-match drink, have a bite to eat, or simply somewhere you just have to visit. Now it's time for our Melbourne Tourist Top 5.
Now, I'm sure, Emma, when you look at me, you think that guy must only go to the most exquisite of places. It's a little bit fanciest, but oh no, for me, if I'm landing in Melbourne, I'm going straight down to a Sporting Globe pub. I've heard loads about them. It's a proper sporting venue, apparently. Loads of screens everywhere, bargain food and drinks on offer, not sponsored. And I absolutely live for a bargain. Emma, would you come along?
Oh, absolutely. If it's got bargain, it's coming at a good price. I'm there, Rob.
And the other thing too is that it's an amazing place when you go there, particularly in the middle of the night, because a lot of the overseas sport, obviously, we get overnight in Melbourne. So you can create a really unique and interesting atmosphere, particularly if you're getting up for a Premier League match at 5 a.m. due to all the time zone differences and everything like that. But not just the Sporting Globe, all of the other pubs around Melbourne too. It is a great experience, and you should really just sample pubs around the world anyway.
Yeah, I love how it says unique and interesting atmosphere, and I think it tells us everything we need to know, doesn't it? We'll move on from that. For me, at number 4, it would be going to see a Melbourne City FC game. Now, they play at the stadium that we mentioned a little bit earlier on. You know, the rectangular stadium we chatted about? That's where the Women's World Cup, one of the games, is going to be there. I really want to tick that off the list. Also, I know this is a sporting podcast, but I'm a proper sucker for a strong football kit, and their third kit is, I can only describe it as naughty. It's like a dark red purpley colour. It is a thing of beauty. The big rivalry for them is the game with Melbourne Victory, and for me, that is a must-see. In at number 3 for me, I am mad keen on a little trip to see the Aussie Rules football. Now, I worked with some Australians at the Winter and the Summer Olympics over the last couple of years, and someone described the Aussie Rules footballs to me as just like the ballet, but only if they allowed people to run on and gouge the dancers in the eyes. Now, for me, a trip to see Collingwood, arguably the biggest and most famous club when it comes to Aussie Rules football, play at the MCG, and that sounds like a day out.
Well, we're actually going to be speaking to an AFL superfan in Lachlan Glascott very shortly. But Peter, strange comparison there from Rob. I'm not sure where he was going with the ballet, but can you verify that?
I don't know where he was going either, to be honest with you there.
Not my words. Number 2, for me, whenever you go into a different city, it's all about getting to the outskirts, so going away from those bright lights. I would be jumping in a car and I'd be heading down the coast to see the Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach. It's the World Surf League World Tour, so basically it's the best of the best. You're on a beach, you're watching them, it doesn't get much better than that. It's one of those sports as well, surfing, that I love, but I'm completely pathetic at. I took a tumble off a belly board on a lad's holiday to Nuki in 2012. It's never been the same since.
Yeah, I have to say, I probably go into the waves with as much grace as you, Rob, but it's it's not just the surfboards I'm terrified of, it's the sharks. Do you get those in Melbourne?
We don't usually, no, but maybe down in that part of the world you might from time to time, but quite rarely. Now, I should point out that for Rob, he's going to be travelling just a little while. It's about an hour and a half from the centre of Melbourne down to Bells Beach. And don't stop there, Rob, because once you see the Rip Curl Pro at Bells Beach, you need to make your way along the Great Ocean Road. It's one of the landmarks here in Victoria, in Australia. You just hire a car and you make your way down. It's just along the coast. It is a beautiful stretch. There's what we call the 12 Apostles. There's a nice rock formation along the way too. It is a lovely drive. And certainly at that time of the year, there's plenty of people down there. It's a bit of a holiday time too. So it's just a wonderful atmosphere. So don't just stop at Bells Beach. Keep going.
That leads me on perfectly to number 1, because when we visited Melbourne and we went all around that area, we went from the Great Ocean Road to Melbourne and we had the best night out. So for me, number 1 thing to do in Melbourne, away from the sport is definitely going a night out, because what I remember of it, Emma, because it's a little bit sketchy, because you know what these things are like, it was one of the best nights out I've ever had. I remember fireworks, I remember the lot. I don't know if the fireworks actually happened, but there was definitely something going on.
Sounds like you probably needed a good cup of coffee in the morning, which, Peter, Melbourne also seems to have a pretty good reputation for.
We are very well known for our coffee. I would, you know, like to spend a night out with Rob. I'd love to, because I think it'd sound like a lot of fun. But then I'm also worried at the same time, Emma, because I feel like I'll be paying for everything if he's working on a budget and if we go out for a long night. But there's all sorts of different things too. I should mention, obviously, the cuisine here. You can get any type of cuisine that you want. Some of the best chefs are based here in Melbourne, the best chefs in the world, some of the best restaurants in the world too. So you start off there. You can have a nice walk along the Yarra River, which is right through the centre of Melbourne. There's all sorts of concerts, there's theatre performances, there's absolutely everything. There's a great nightclub scene, there's a great bar scene as well. And as you say, the morning after, you can get yourself a lovely cup of coffee, because we do that very, very well too.
I love the sound of those restaurants, and I'll be there with a voucher.
Rob, by the sounds of it, you've got all bases covered. So for more travel expertise on a budget, may I add, just like that, you can follow Rob on TikTok at RobDidATikTok. So let's focus on our next sport now. In fact, this isn't a sport, it's a sporting mecca.
Good evening and welcome to the G, and what a sight it is.
MCG form, 85,000 seats.
Right on 94.
Right on 94! Brings up the 100 with a 6.
Not working the right way. The skipper, the hero, the superstar. What a moment. Joel Selwood has nailed a goal. The emotions bubble over here at the MCG.
I can't read the G without having like an Aussie twang in my head. Like the World Cup, Peter, the funniest thing was when someone would get a yellow card, they go, show him the cheese! The cheese! It's the same thing, the G! Right, okay, I'll do it in my best English accent. Yes, the Melbourne Cricket Ground, known locally as the G or the MCG, is the largest stadium in the Southern Hemisphere. Now, we're delighted to say that a man who has experienced the MCG as an opposing player joins us now to talk of his experiences playing in the famous bowl. Former England cricketer Stephen Finn played a starring role on the way to victory in the world-famous Ashes series back in 2011.
Oh, close as well, yes. Very full length is the key here. Finn is exploiting a very good length and finding movement.
Hi, Stephen. Welcome along. Thanks for joining us. I'm sure you never get sick of talking about this, do you? Even though it's over a decade ago now. So tell us, what is it like to play at the MCG?
Yeah, I mean, look, good afternoon, first and foremost. But yeah, it's certainly a very individual place to play cricket, because it is a multi-format, multi-sport ground. So a lot of the time when you're playing cricket in this country and around the world, the grounds are specific cricket grounds, but this is a massive sporting structure that holds 100,000 people. It can be intimidating to play, and the concourse is where you walk up from underneath the ground, like a coliseum. You sort of walk up these tunnels up onto the pitch are probably some of the most daunting that you'll walk up when you're an opposition player. So yeah, it's very individual, but it's a wonderful place to play cricket.
Yeah, use the word intimidating there. You know, just from hearing other cricketers talk about playing inside that arena, it sounds like a bit of an understatement, but obviously you found a way to deal with it back in 2011. But yeah, let's just get inside that a little bit more. How does it compare, the noise even, just with that, the sheer amount of people inside that bowl? As an opposing player, that must be something quite unique to deal with.
Yeah, it's unique. I think because you're actually separated by quite a distance from the crowd, it just feels more like a wall of noise as opposed to actually hearing individual people shouting at you. I think that's the worst thing about being a cricketer, is when you're stood on the boundary and you can hear that one person who's just got your badge for the afternoon. But the MCG, it's just this whole big wall of noise. And when Australia are doing well, it's a very intimidating place to play. But when they're not doing so well, it goes completely silent. It's very partisan. And yeah, I've experienced both ends of the spectrum there in 2015 in the World Cup, in the first game of the World Cup, actually, Australia really smashed us, actually, in a ODI there, the 2015 World Cup. And that was very boisterous and very intimidating to play in.
And you mentioned there the crowds, especially when you're out there, perhaps on the boundary or fielding specifically, when you're a bit closer to them. But what else is, are there any other kind of hostile elements to it? What are the dressing rooms like there?
Well, the dressing rooms are just big, empty rooms, basically. I think cricket dressing rooms are usually quite intimate places, but these, because it would have to house AFL teams, NRL teams, it means that the dressing rooms are massive to fit 30, 40 players and support staff in. So, usually you're used to sitting directly next to your mate in the cricket dressing room, but you're quite spread out in here and you have your own space. So it's more the walk up from the dressing room where you come up, where you can't really hear anything. You're in this bubble that's sort of insulated from all the noise upstairs. And then you walk out, and as you get closer to the concourse and the walkway that walks you up onto the pitch, it just gets increasingly louder and louder until you walk out there. And that's when that wall of noise really hits you.
Yeah. So what was it like then when you won there? Because, they make it a difficult place to go, the Australians. And actually, it's interesting to hear that detail inside the dressing room. Even when you're in there, they're not making it easy for you to gel as a team. But when you won there, I mean, it was over a decade ago now, but what are your sort of standout memories, the sights, the sounds?
Well, actually, to be honest, I didn't play in that game. So I was there. I'd played the first three test matches and I got dropped for the fourth test at Melbourne. So I was there physically, but I wasn't there because I was not playing actually out there in the middle. But the MCG, I've got only bad memories really of the MCG, because that's where I found out in the dressing room from Andrew Strauss that I was dropped for that game. And then went and had a little cry in the toilets and that afterwards because I was 21, had never been dropped before, and it was happening to me on Christmas Day at the MCG. But obviously in the essence of us trying to win the Ashes, it turned out to be a great decision because the guys went and bowled Australia out for 99 the next day. So slightly mixed memories, but I remember just that first day where we were there and I was sat on the sidelines watching, and as it got more and more apparent that we were so on top in the game, it was completely packed and hostile at 10 o'clock in the morning when the game started. But then by the time it was 5 o'clock in the evening and we were batting and were about 100 for none, the only people left in the ground were the Barmy Army. There was about probably 15,000 of them. So we got rid of 80,000 locals, basically, because we played well that day.
Wow. And I imagine, even 15,000 of them in what is otherwise a pretty empty stadium, that must have been some noise. And there's some celebrations when you did win.
Yes. Yeah. That was where the famous sprinkler dance was done, actually, started by Graham Swan and then carried on by the rest of us. But yeah, the sprinkler and all the celebrations on the outfield, and then the smoking cigars in the dressing rooms with all the boys, and everyone's families came down. And that's the advantage of having such a big dressing room, is that all the families and friends and everyone can come into the dressing room and celebrate that with you. So yeah, we certainly partied into the night after that one.
Yeah, and actually, just with that, what are your other wider memories of Melbourne, your sort of biggest takeaways? I'm sure you've probably been back since, but for you, when you visit as a city, what are your favourite parts?
I remember Melbourne, we stayed on a place called Chapel Street, which is a very edgy, sort of hip, I suppose, it makes me sound incredibly old using that word, but yeah, it's like a very cool part of town with lots of cafes, nightclubs, restaurants, all on one strip of shops in just outside the central city of Melbourne. So I remember really enjoying that and actually wanting to go back at some stage to experience it properly outside of being there on an England cricket tour.
I think you're doing yourself a disservice there. Hip, trendy, they're your middle names, Stephen. Come on.
I don't know about that. You know that's not the case.
All right. Well, to wrap things up, the ICC World Cup is live on Sport 24, coming up later on in 2023. For you, how special an event is that? What are your thoughts looking ahead?
Yeah, I think playing cricket or playing in world tournaments, especially in places that have the capacity to fit that many people, are really special things and things that you look forward to when you're a player. So yeah, everyone will be very excited to get out there and be involved in that. And certainly when it comes to world tournaments and testing yourself against the best, it's the place where you really find out how good you are as a player.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for your time and best of luck with the new domestic season in England.
Thanks very much.
A big thanks to former England cricketer Stephen Finn for speaking to us. The MCG also plays host to the grand final of Australia's own sport, Australian Rules Football, which runs from March to September every year. And if you want to get a flavour of the biggest local sport in the state of Victoria, then AFL is the thing to watch in Melbourne. So who better to speak to than a passionate AFL superfan, Lachlan Glascott. Lachlan, thanks so much for your time. We'll get straight to it. I hear you're a massive AFL fan, specifically St Kilda. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, definitely a huge AFL fan. Born and bred in Melbourne, so that's really all you can be. I suppose in terms of being a St Kilda fan, it's not the easiest team to support. We're probably the team that gets made the most fun of. We've only won one premiership in our history back in 1966, so it's been a long time. And we've also won the most wooden spoons, which is the award for coming last. But I suppose when we finally win again within my lifetime, that'll make it all the sweeter.
Well, I think you're in good company here, I have to say, Lachlan, because I think if we're trying to find comparisons there, Rob, with what we're familiar with, that being English football, I support quite a disappointing team in Watford. And Rob, I think you said you're the same.
Yeah, I'm a Nottingham Forest fan. So actually, after all this time, I can actually embrace the football again. It's been a good couple of years, but now we are back where we belong.
Well, Lachlan, like Nottingham Forest, actually, St Kilda, once upon a time, they were champions, weren't they? AFL premiers, as they were known, way back in 66. But the grand final every year is contested at the world-famous MCG, which we've been talking about. So just how important is that stadium to Melbourne and to you?
Oh, it's massive. It hosts, you know, like you said, the grand final, all the biggest events, Boxing Day Test, all the concerts, everything like that. I think from a Melbournean perspective, everyone takes a lot of pride in it. We like to brag that it's the biggest stadium in Australia, one of the biggest in the world, can fit over 100,000 people at capacity. So, yeah, it is really an awesome stadium when it's full to be in. And I'm actually I'm an MCG member, and it took me 20 years on the wait list to get in. So, yeah, it's... It's a great stadium, and I think based on where I've been in the world, probably the best.
20-year waiting list. That almost comes as a bit of a surprise, though, because throughout the podcast so far, we've heard that Melbourne as a city has so much to offer. I suppose my biggest question is, where do they find the time when there's so much else to do in Melbourne? But, you know, I'm really getting the impression that Aussie rules, it's huge to the city.
Yeah, it is. It's probably the biggest thing in the city. It really gives its identity. For example, when you meet people or start a new job, things like that, it's probably the first thing that ever comes up. They want to know who you go for and your story. And I think the fact that everyone lives and breathes it so much makes it a really, really good sport to follow, because there is so much banter and, you know, with your mates, with family, and like any sport, it's a really good one to, great way to catch up with mates and build a lot of friendships out of playing and watching.
Well, Lachlan, by the sounds of it, on a match day in Melbourne, whatever sport it is you're following, there's a real buzz around the place. So with that, can you take us inside your match day routine? Now, if you're watching Premier League football in England, you might be meeting up with your friends and family, getting a bite to eat, going to get a pint of beer at the pub. And in the States, you know, we're well aware of these tailgate parties you get ahead of NFL. But what does Melbourne look like on a match day in the AFL?
Yeah, pretty similar. I think a lot of people would get together before the game, but typically I'd say more so after the game. The AFL games can start, you know, early in the afternoon, all the way through to the night games, which are around 7:30 PM. So yeah, it'd be similar. Going to the pub, getting a bite to eat, probably a bit more chill than what you'd see in the States or even in the UK. But yeah, similar kind of things.
And specifically, best spots to go to in Melbourne before a game? Are there any areas that really see a lot of fans congregating?
I think, so where the MCG is, that's in the Richmond area, and that's also where the Australian Open's held and that sort of thing. There's a lot of, that's probably my favourite area. There's a lot of good pubs around there, old school pubs, newer ones as well. So that's a really fun place to go. No shortage of things to do. And there's also, there's plenty of spots. But people up north or on the north side of town would say that the Fitzroy and Brunswick area is pretty fun. It's a bit more trendy and hip as opposed to Richmond. So, no shortage.
Excellent stuff. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, Lachlan. I think we'll all be keeping an eye out now, not just on the AFL, but to the success of St Kilda as well. So best of luck with the new season.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Well, by the sounds of it, Peter, Rob, there's some serious highs and lows if you're a fan of the AFL, specifically if you're a St Kilda fan like Lachlan. And quite aptly, there's a theme park, isn't there, in St Kilda. So if you haven't had enough of an emotional roller coaster at the match day, you can always then jump on a ride just next door.
Oh, I love the link, Emma. That's fantastic. Luna Park, it's called. And you can tell where it is because obviously you can see all the roller coasters, but actually the entrance, the main entrance, is there's a face and it's got a giant mouth and you can see it. It's one of the more iconic things that if you type Melbourne into Google or type Luna Park into Google, it's the first thing that'll come up. It's the oldest theme park I think we've got here in the country, and it's been around for a very long time, and it's one of those iconic things that's not too far from the city. Again, you jump on one of those wonderful Melbourne trams to take you there on a beautiful sunny day and you can have a lovely time. And if you're a St Kilda supporter, sometimes you can forget about the losses that you have.
So let's say that you turn up in Melbourne, Peter. How easy or difficult is it to get tickets to these events? Because at the weekend I was in Madrid and I went to see Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, and you've got to book that in advance because you've got to try and make sure you've got the tickets. But went to see Rayo Vallecano and we could get tickets dead straightforward. What's it like around there?
Well, firstly, half your luck, Rob. But also, I think the fact that you can actually, we've got a 100,000-seat stadium, so very rarely the MCG completely sells out. There's only a handful of times. Usually things like the grand final sells out in advance, and there's some other sort of iconic matches that are played throughout the year. But generally, you'll have no trouble getting tickets to any of the matches. We play only out of the two main stadiums, the MCG and Marvel Stadium, which we've talked about as well. So quite comfortable for spectators. Tickets generally go on sale once the sort of fixtures are announced, and that's often sort of the October of the previous year. So there's plenty of time to get in and get organised, but you have no trouble getting tickets. And it's very family friendly. Tickets are quite affordable as well. So there's all sorts of different ticket brackets, if you like, but it's designed to be as family friendly as possible and as affordable as possible, which suits you too on a budget, Rob.
I suppose the other big plus as well, Peter, is you're saying that there's actually a number of AFL teams in Melbourne. So perhaps if your first choice is sold out that day, there's other options for you. And on a match day, that must make for quite a lively atmosphere, does it? Having all these different teams in Melbourne heading off to their fixtures.
Absolutely. And I think it's spread out across the weekend too, but there are the big matches where the local teams play one another, and it happens a lot in Melbourne. We have 10 teams in Victoria, so 9 in Melbourne itself, and then one just down the road, about an hour away, called Geelong, but they often play at the MCG too. And there's plenty of traditional rivals, if you like. So Rob mentioned earlier in the podcast talking about Collingwood. Well, they seem to have rivalries with absolutely everyone, but it's very, it's fierce out there on the field. But the thing is, when you do come to these games, it's very friendly. As we say, we want to have a family-friendly environment, and people of all ages can come to watch a match and have no problems. And there are, as unbelievable as this sounds, there are families that are divided. There are mixed marriages. And you're probably wondering what I'm talking about. Someone in the family might barry for Collingwood, someone might barry for Carlton. It might cause a bit of a problem around the Christmas table, but otherwise they can sit together quite happily and just have this very friendly rivalry, and certainly bragging rights after the weekend to talk about it, whoever wins.
Well, it sounds, Peter, if you're a Melbournean, you have a team. And yes, there might be arguments around the Christmas dinner table. I've been referring to these passionate fans as super fans. But actually, on the ground, if you visit Melbourne, you may well hear another word, right?
Absolutely. Nuffy, which could be taken in lots of different ways. But the idea is that they are, as you say, super fans. They are so hardcore into their team. They know all the ins and outs. It's all they talk about during the week. And we should say, too, that the press coverage and the media coverage it gets is really intense here in Melbourne. So everyone seems to buy into it. But there's that special supporter. Maybe the ones who would come along to the match as a grown man or a grown woman, and they'd have their face painted and they'd wear the jersey. That's the sort of thing that we're looking for when we talk about a footy nuffy. They are just talk about it 12 months out of the year, even when there's no AFL matches on.
Can we do a thing, Emma, where every single time we have a guest on, we get at least one slang word? I think that would be a decent way to do the podcast. I'm well up for that. Now, Peter, there's one thing I want to ask you, right? So whenever I speak to my mum when I'm doing any travelling whatsoever, she always says to me, the first question is always, what time is it there? And the second one is always, what's the weather like? Now, I remember that we went to Melbourne in March, my friend and I were walking around in shorts and a t-shirt, whereas people who live there have got the coats on. Is it one of those things that if I go and watch the AFL, what do I need to be taking?
Well, they do say in Melbourne, if you don't like the weather, wait about 20 minutes and it'll change, because we are known for having four seasons in one day. But during the winter time, it's not as cold as some other parts of the world. We don't get snow in Melbourne. If we do, it's a very rare occurrence, but it does get reasonably chilly. But I guess that's up for interpretation. It's the summers that get really hot, so we can have up to 40 degrees Celsius at sometimes throughout the summer here. But it's all dependable. It's all changeable. Just pack everything, Rob. I know you're probably not a fan of excess baggage, so you'll need to just bring one of everything, but that would be my suggestion. Just bring one of everything. Maybe have an umbrella on standby. That will serve you well.
Just going back to this term, nuffy, Peter, I do wonder, does it transcend into cricket? More specifically, what is quite competitive at times, the Big Bash League, which runs from December to February, and which I've seen myself actually inside the MCG, and it does get a bit lively.
It certainly does. It's designed to be a carnival, designed to be a party. It's a cricket tournament, and it's one of those short-form cricket tournaments, so it's very much condensed into 3 hours. It's, again, very family-friendly. It's on almost every night of the week when the tournament's actually on. Hasn't quite transcended into nuffy territory just yet. However, there are people who, because the sponsor is a fast food company, they do wear buckets on their heads. So, like buckets of chicken, they wear the buckets on top of their heads. And there are people who've done all sorts of crazy things there. So, it's very much a family-friendly event and the kids absolutely love it. But there are some really weird things that happen from time to time.
Buckets on head, Rob, if you're looking to save money, it could double up as an umbrella if we do get a bit of rain as well.
I'm just thinking of the luggage I can get in that bucket hat.
A bit of a running theme. The BBL team, Melbourne Stars, they play at the MCG, but as well as the Australia and Victoria cricket teams as well. So plenty of options there as far as supporting goes. And of course, you can watch the best in cricket battle it out in the Big Bash League, as well as at the 2023 ICC World Cup, both of which are live on Sport 24. And as well as that, Sport 24 is your home of the AFL. Well, we've spoken about tennis, cricket and Aussie rules, but we're not done yet, Peter. What else is there to cover in Melbourne that you can also watch on Sport 24?
Well, the answer to that is very simple. There's plenty. The Melbourne Cup is in November. It's the first Tuesday in November. It has been around for over 100 years. We have a rich tradition in Melbourne and around Australia of horse racing. It is the big event. It is the pinnacle event. It's at Flemington Racecourse, which has magnificent views of the CBD of Melbourne, by the way. Again, nothing's too far away from the city, but it's a chance to be a part of it. It is a public holiday or bank holiday or whatever you call it, holiday here in Melbourne. And it's known as the race that stops a nation. Almost 100,000 people make their way to Flemington. It's a carnival, so there's 4 days of action, but that is the main race and it is shown worldwide. So it is absolutely enormous. And it's one thing that the city stops to just witness that one horse race each and every year.
Peter, so let me just get this straight in my head. So the Rugby League, the NRL, is a winter sport in Australia. So that's typically, is that March to September every year?
That's right. It runs in parallel with the AFL or the Aussie rules season. So it is typically a winter sport.
Got you. And so even though there's plenty going on in Melbourne, it's not exactly the most popular sport, even though they've got Melbourne Storm.
Yes, for a whole bunch of reasons. Rugby league, which is the NRL, is played mainly in Sydney and Brisbane. It's bigger there than what it is in Melbourne. We, of course, we have a team, and of course it's going to be successful. Plays at the Rectangular Stadium, along with our rugby teams as well, and they've had a remarkable run of success. The Melbourne Storm, it's one of those teams that, yes, there is a hardcore rugby league fan base here in Melbourne that like to pack out that stadium each and every time they play at that venue, but it's also one that the city really gets behind. Even if you're not a massive rugby league fan, you know that if you're a Melbournean, you're going to be a Melbourne Storm fan as well by default.
So we've got horse racing, rugby league as well. And not only that, every March, the F1 season gets underway. And one of its opening races is the Australian Grand Prix, hosted at this stunning Albert Park.
Hello, I'm F1 broadcaster Rosanna Tennant. Melbourne is an incredible city all year round, but when F1 rolls into town, the city really comes alive, and it's a little bit different to the other Grand Prix because the circuit is right in the centre of the city. The trams are packed on the way to Albert Park, and the city really embraces the sport. The Albert Park circuit is really special. It is set in a park, and as you look at the circuit, you can see in the distance the Melbourne Central Business District. It's spectacular. There is water in the middle of the park, so it sort of shimmers when they show the helicopter footage. And it's just brilliant. When you wake up in your hotel every morning over the race weekend, you can hear cars on the track, and it just gets you so excited for all the action you're going to see that day.
Does the feeling in the city change when you have these big international events like the F1 that we heard there, like the tennis, the Australian Open? Is there an extra shift in the buzz you feel around the place?
Absolutely. And it's not just Melburnians who feel the buzz. It's because we get international tourists coming to Melbourne to experience what it's like to be here. And with so many coming in, as well as Melburnians who love their sport, it's quite a great atmosphere that happens each and every time the F1 show rolls into town. Even better when we have Australian drivers who we can follow. They tend to bring a few more fans through the gates at Albert Park. But it's such a beautiful setting. And when you at the time of the year that it's on, March, April time, you've got the sun setting, it's beautiful atmosphere, if the weather's nice, it's just a great day out.
Oh, well, Peter, you've painted the picture perfectly there. You're preaching to the converted. I'll be booking another plane ticket back round the world the second I can to visit Melbourne once again. And I think we've covered it all off between cricket, racing, AFL, rugby league, F1. It's all there. But perhaps if you're listening to this, you're from Melbourne, you've just visited, or you've been doing a bit of research yourself. If there's anything at all that we've missed out, do get in touch. You can find Sport24 across social media. You can search the hashtag MySport24. Perhaps, Rob, is there anything else you've come across in your research perhaps we've missed out?
Yeah, right. There's one thing, and I can't work. Do you know when someone tells you something and you can't work out if they're winding you up or not? So, you know, earlier on, I mentioned that I work with a couple of people. I've got a couple of friends that live in Melbourne. Now, Peter, you'll be able to tell me about this. Apparently, they were saying that underwater hockey is a thing. I've Googled it and there is a proper thing for it, which is apparently the Victorian Underwater Hockey Commission. Peter, is it real or are they having me on?
Oh, look, I cannot confirm or deny because this is the first time that I've heard of it. I cover a lot of different sports, but hey, if it's a sport that's happening around the world, sure enough, we are going to have some sort of representation in Melbourne. You know, okay, underwater hockey, we can do that. Are you a fan of ice hockey? Yes, we've got some teams. We have an ice house in Melbourne as well, so you can go and watch the local team playing there as well. I could go on and on and on. Lawn bowls. Rob, you look like a lawn bowler. We've got plenty of that. Some of the best in the world that play out of Melbourne as well.
Ember, I think he's not confirming or denying if they're winding me up there. I think he's very non-committal.
Well, come down and find out.
Exactly that. And we'll add it to the list for now, but perhaps with an asterisk next to it. But I think one thing is for sure, if you are looking to head to one of the most vibrant cities in the world, a city that is so rich in sporting pedigree with some of the world's most legendary arenas and stadiums, then Melbourne is the place to go. And don't forget, you can enjoy all these sporting events we've been talking about live on Sport 24, from the Australian Open to the NRL, AFL, the Big Bash, and even Formula One. Sport 24 connects passengers to those unmissable sporting events live, whether you're in the air at 35,000 feet or on board a cruise ship at sea. It's been fascinating finding out more about the sports that have made Melbourne one of the world's sporting cities. So a huge thank you to all our guests, to Peter Mercato for expertly guiding us through his beloved city of Melbourne, and to Rob Adcock, my trusty travel companion. If you've enjoyed this episode, please remember to subscribe to this show via your favourite podcast provider. And we'll be back soon taking trips to other sporting cities, including Madrid, Miami, and Dubai. I'm Emma Saunders, and you've been listening to On Tour with Sport 24. Until next time, safe travels.